Once again, every so often we have great vessels that God uses. One church, but we can't be everywhere. And so God blesses us with partners that go here and there and same spirit doing a work. And so if we could today, let's thank God by standing for a moment and thank God for our speaker today, Brother Paul Whitley.
With my age, I just forget sometimes. We got to fly into St. Louis and drove up yesterday, and I'm going to be leaving right after service because I understand something else is coming this afternoon, and I don't want to mix with it. So I'll be back at home by midnight in Atlanta where they speak my language. God bless you for coming out this morning. I want to bring you greetings from Africa, from Togo, Africa, where Pastor Mawusi is doing an apostolic work planting churches. It's cost him dearly to do what he does. He's lost two of his children, malaria. One child, a grown son, last time I was there was last December, a year ago. They brought him back from the dead, actually, because of he had ingested some poison. This year, he almost died of Ebola. God spared him again. I don't know what God's got in store for this young man, but he needs to give in real quick. But Pastor Mawusi is planting churches. On the way back from one of his church plants a couple of weeks ago, he was bit by a poisonous snake. He had no money. We sent him money for the injections, $235 an injection for three antivenin shots. That's per each. And for a man who doesn't have very much income, that's life-threatening. But we were able to get funds to him, and so he's on the road again. I heard somebody say that one time, or sing it. Well, he tried to sing it. Well, anyway, I'll stay away from Willie Nelson. I also bring you greetings from Nikki and Patty Cortez in Ecuador, where they left their home in Peru, in Bolivia, and they're planted a church in the inner city there. I bring you greetings from Jonathan Maria, who left Peru and who have started a church in the inner city of Mexico City, is doing a great work there. I bring you greetings from Monica and David Marin, who left their home in Argentina, at least she did, and they planted a great church in Tarija, Bolivia, where we work, and we have just loved working with them for the last 4 years. She is a Spirit-filled Baptist pastor. And she is really spirit-filled, let me tell you. She's wonderful. And then I want to bring you greetings from Elias and Milka, who are the pastors we work with primarily in Bolivia. And they're doing a great work planting churches outside the city. They probably have one of the top three in size churches in Tarija. And we will be meeting with them on the 22nd of next month. So they all send you greetings, and I bring those to you. They're wonderful men and women of God. And I just wanted you to know a little bit about some of the places we go. Due to time restraints, so I want to share with you just from Bolivia, because that's where we work primarily. Last February, I believe it was, yes, because Mardi Gras is in February, and down there they call it Carnival. And I've not been to Mardi Gras in New Orleans. I have no desire to go there, but I hear it's a pretty wicked time in a city that's wicked almost all the time. But they take it a little bit more seriously in Latin America because they worship a goddess called Pachamama, which we call here Mother Earth. We don't really think of it as a god or a goddess, but there it is the predominant god of South America. And the president of the nation I work in has a fifth grade education. He's an avowed warlock. He's the president of the Association of Cocaine Growers for South America. He has a fifth grade education. He's a pretty wicked guy, but he really believes in what he believes, and he comes from a tribal culture, and he has the authority to do so. So last one of the days of Mardi Gras last year, he sent out a, y'all know what executive orders are, I'm sure. We've seen a lot of those lately in our country. Well, he sent out an executive order that every military post in the nation had to invite and accept a satanic high priest to come onto the grounds to gather all the troops and to do an animal sacrifice in the name of Satan. And God has opened up a lot of doors for us in Bolivia, especially in our city. And so we have an open door to go on to the military bases there, the police academies, the schools, both Catholic and otherwise. And God has just given us great favor. And so the commandant of the army, let's say army has post, right? The army post sent word to us that this was going to happen. He couldn't stop it. He is a believer himself in Jesus Christ. He said, that's going to happen on Tuesday morning. On Tuesday afternoon, could you come and disavow, turn around, change, cancel out everything that satanic priest does? And we said, we'll be there. And so when we got there, I noticed he had something in his pocket, and it was a big old bottle of olive oil. And he had it in his pocket. He was ready. And he took us out to where the ceremony had been earlier that day. He said, I'd like for us to pray and do business in God's kingdom. And he gave me the bottle of oil. And I stepped out, and you could see the burn spot on the ground where that had taken place. And we just took that oil and made a healthy sign of the cross. And we prayed. We prayed in English. We prayed in Spanish. We prayed in tongues. And we canceled out all those things. Interestingly enough, we do spiritual warfare in what we do, all of us. We may not realize we're doing spiritual warfare, but we are involved in a spiritual battle for our lives. And on the Tuesday after Easter in April, I lost my hearing in this ear. I still am not able to hear. However, every morning, if I don't forget, and I usually don't forget, if I do, it happens sometime during the day, I make four declarations in the name of Jesus. I declare prosperity. I declare healing and divine health. I declare protection. I declare success. And I thank God for all his gifts that he's given us. And I believe in that. I do it. I guess it'll be heaven before I find out all the things the devil wanted to do to me he couldn't do because I made those declarations by faith. But that came upon me, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is only for a time. This is only for a time. That's April. I'm a deer hunter. If you're a deer hunter, you know you need all your faculties, and sometimes that's not good enough. And I kept reminding the Lord as we got closer to October, Lord, deer season's coming. Deer season's coming. Lord, I need to be able to hear. And undoubtedly, I didn't need to hear because I got $2 the day after opening day, and so my season was done. And God says, I'm still doing a work in you. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The scriptures will be overhead if I don't go too fast or too slow for the young man in the back. But I want to go to Philippians 1:6. I didn't know you were going to be working in Philippians, men, until last night at dinner with the pastor. So maybe this will just be a good introduction to the study that you'll be doing. But in Philippians 1:6, it says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. In saying that, I think of the author of that verse, not the Holy Spirit, because he is the author, but Paul, who wrote it down. And I think, Paul, the Lord began a good work in Paul. Perhaps it started on the road to Damascus, and it lasted until he faced the one who beheaded him in Rome. It was a lifelong process for him. You could argue, and I wouldn't argue with you if you did this, you could say it began before time began because he knows everything about us and he's ordained our days before there was one of them. But there is a promise right here that I want to really concentrate on. First of all, I want to ask you, what is the good work? He will perform this good work in us. What is that good work? And I'd like to mention several things. One is, It's becoming like Christ. I mean, in essence, that is the good work that he's doing in us. And ladies, this is for you. This is not just a men's message. Is it not being filled with the fruit and character of Christ? Is it not becoming the part of the body of Christ that we're called to be? Is it not being obedient to all things that he's commanded us? And so much more. But if we just look at these four things, let's look at becoming like Christ. We're told that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And he has come to begin a good work in us to cause us to become like him, and he is like the Father. If you look in Hebrews 1:1-3, it says, God, after he spoke again long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. If you look in John 14:9-10, I'm cutting out, aren't I? It sounds like I am. I'll yell real loud. Or bring me a handheld, maybe that'd be good. In John 14:9-10, he said to Philip, have I been so long with you and yet you've not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. I challenge all of us, including myself, to allow the Father to abide in us so that we can do the works he's called us to do. Oh, that's what I want. I want to abide in the Father and him abide in me. Jesus says, abide in me and you will do great works. And my Father will be glorified by those works. In John 17:20-21, he prayed this. Now, I'm going fast, but write down these scriptures and meditate on them after the service sometime this week, and just get all that the Holy Spirit wants to give you through it. Jesus in his prayer said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. I speak Southern, you speak mid whatever. We understand each other. We speak different languages, but I want to speak the language that he speaks. And he says, you're in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, to be one, so the world may believe that you sent me. To become like him, which is the work he began in us, we must reject all darkness from our lives. There cannot be any darkness in our lives, because if there's darkness there, light and dark do not stay in the same place. And if you entertain darkness, that's that much light you're not going to be able to entertain. And that's that much knowledge and understanding, mercy and grace and love. That's that much of the Father and being like Jesus. We won't be. So we need to get rid of any darkness. And you did a lot of that this morning. Praise God. If there's any left, get rid of it. Because Jesus is doing a work in you, and he will work to get rid of that darkness. He won't interfere, you might say, with your free will, but he'll make your will change, or you'll be the worse for it. What about the fruit and character of Christ? We are the fruit and character of Christ. If we're not, he is working in us to make it so. In Galatians 5:23-24, we have the fruit. We have the character of Christ enumerated. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is the fruit and the character of Christ. Look those over again and ask yourself, how much love am I exhibiting? How much patience is in me? How much goodness and kindness do I exhibit? What do people know me for? What do I look like to someone who doesn't know me? They just come in contact with me during a work experience or a school experience or just a happenstance on the street. How do I come across? And if you'll ask God to show you the truth about that, you'll find that there is some more work he needs to do in you. Amen? Being a member of the body of Christ, The Bible tells in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, that we are members of a body, and each member has a place and a function, a responsibility. And we need to know something about being a member of the body of Christ to have a calling. Two things. Number one, we need to concentrate on doing our calling, fulfilling our responsibility that God has given us as a member of the body, and quit trying and quit coveting someone else's calling. There may be some of you in here that would love to be the pastor, you know, and when pastor gets up there and does anything, you're critical and you're constantly second-guessing him. Maybe some of you would like to be on either microphone, but that's not your calling. And if you're concentrating on doing that calling instead of the calling God has given you, and if you try to appropriate that calling by whatever means, and that's not what God has called you to do, that's not your responsibility in the body of Christ, and maybe you're successful in doing that by hook or crook, then what you just did was that man, I'll pick on this one over here in the red shirt, that means this man is not able to fulfill the calling God has placed him in and gifted him in and has worked in his life for his entire life to bring him to that point. And so therefore, he's not able to do his calling because of what you did, but God has called you to a particular calling, a particular responsibility, and because you're doing this one, you're not doing the one God called you to do. And all of us are called to glorify God, but we're also are called to be there for those people God brings into our lives. And if I'm somewhere else doing someone else's calling, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm a missionary. God has called me to certain places in the world to go and minister. Well, maybe I don't like that place. And so I decided, well, I'm going to go over here and do this because I really like, you know, going to Bolivia. I stay in a 3-star hotel and I eat in nice restaurants and all the people love me and they call me grandfather. And I really like that. But Togo doesn't have any of those things. And I really... I'm uncomfortable, my flesh is, when I go to Togo. But if God tells me to go to Togo, and I said, no, I want to go to Bolivia. Well, then there are people God has called to come across my path in Togo that will not meet me. And so that part that God wanted to do in their life gets postponed for a time until God finds somebody who will do what he's told him to do. And the second thing is, don't run from your calling. We see a lot of that. I don't want to prophesy. I'm afraid, what if I get it wrong? What if people talk at me? What if people laugh at me? Well, I don't want to sing, get up in front of people. What if I miss a note? Well, I don't want to preach. That means I got to study. A lot of people run from their calling. And again, the same consequences. So don't do either of those things. Find out what God wants you to do, and you concentrate on that and allow God to work in you to bring you to that place of perfection that he wants in you. Being obedient. The great commandment tells us in Matthew 22:37-38, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. How do we express love? We say we love God, but how do we express it? Well, John tells us in 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. You want to love God, you want to love him more, you want that love to be expressed, just listen to his voice, see what he's saying to do, and just do it. And every time you do that, you're expressing love to the Father. What's the opposite of that? For everything God wants us to do, there's something the flesh wants us to do instead. So we need to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. As long as we're being led by the flesh, we're not going to be doing the will of God. And the flesh has a very high voice. It is an ultra soprano. Or it's the deepest bass. It's going to get your attention. Don't listen to it. And every time you don't listen to it, you will be more obedient to God. I'm going to skip a few verses here. I want to get down to... just summarize that. Philippians 1:6 is becoming like Christ, the good work, being filled with the fruit and character of Christ, fulfilling our part of the member of the body of Christ God's called us to, Number four, being obedient and fulfilling both parts of the great commandment. Now, if you allow me to, because I'm on a time frame here, I know you don't like to be read to, but can I just read over this next part? Because I want to make sure we get in. What is perfecting the good work look like? He's called us to the good work. He began it. Now he's going to perfect it. And it is a lifelong process. It's not something that you're going to work on real hard this week and accomplish it. Unless you're going to die on Saturday. Okay? And even then, you probably will not have perfected it. Let me just do this. I used to be a carpenter. I taught school. I decided to build my house. I started training myself and learning and practicing and experiencing things. And I became a carpenter after I got my house built. It didn't fall down right away. My wife might argue with that now. But it didn't fall down, so I said, I like this. I think I want to do more of this. So I started doing a lot of different things, and I hired somebody to work with me. And I don't know if I became a good carpenter. I got by anyway. I'm not sure what kind of carpenter I was, and I don't want you to come visit me to see. But I used to make my living as a carpenter, and a carpenter is known by the quality of his work, of how perfect it is. And there are two kinds of carpenters. The carpenter that's motivated by the money he's going to make, and the carpenter who's motivated by the pure pleasure of creating something beautiful. In the mind of the second is the constant challenge to make a piece with no flaws. Every piece of wood's chosen with care and quality. The pieces have to be able to come together with precision, be made of quality wood, and pleasing to the customer. He may have to cast aside a piece from time to time and replace it with a piece of better quality wood. He may have to replace it to be more precise or to recut a miter to be more perfect. Miter is that crack between the 45-degree angles. Finally, when each joint is jointed, it fits perfectly. Each piece is sanded to a smooth as glass luster. Each drawer slides effortlessly and smoothly into place. He then must stain and finish the piece until it perfectly pleases the customer. I always enjoyed working for men more than women. Even though the customer's pleased, the carpenter often feels he could have done a better job. And if the piece is perfect and acceptable in his sight, he often regrets having to let it go. When I thought of that, this morning as I was going over my notes, I thought, you know, the Lord was a carpenter, right? Wouldn't you like to own a piece of wood that he made? He made the wood, but the piece that he made from the wood. And I got to thinking, God has been working on this old guy for 67 years. You know, and one of these days, that part of my life is going to be over, and I'm going to stand before him as the piece that he created. And I wonder if he wishes he could have sent me back for a little bit more perfection. I wonder if he's going to be pleased with what I have done, with what he has done during my lifetime. Am I going to be pleased if I come to a place in my life where I'm in a hospital or I'm on my deathbed and I'm getting ready to go home and be with the Lord, am I going to be disappointed in my life? What I did, what I accomplished. Am I going to hate all those times I messed up? Because there will be a time I stand before him and I'll see things I didn't see before. And I just wonder about that. So as I wonder about that, maybe I should be really diligent now in allowing him to sand out those rough edges. Allowing him, if he has to recut a miter so it's just perfect. I need to allow him to run that board through the planer one more time until when he rubs his finger across it, he discerns no ridge at all. When he gets to the point where he's ready to stain and to polish and finish it, what's it going to look like? How long is it going to be on the showroom floor, before somebody says, well, I guess I'll take that one over there. And I think that's where we are today is, what are we doing to allow the Lord to help the Lord perfect us to become like Christ in every area, in every way. I know that I've had many relationships in many countries over my 31 years of being a missionary. And I remember in Austria many, many years ago, this was in the mid-90s, I just had a falling out with another missionary. And it was ugly. And the Lord helped me, and I allowed him to speak to me, and I saw where it was all my fault. I spoke out of turn. I spoke not with love in my voice. And I hated it. And I wasn't living in Austria at the time. I had, but I had moved home, and we were going back and forth. And they were really angry. And they did some things they shouldn't have done. They called people in the United States, churches they knew I was affiliated with. They just ran me down. And when they did, it made me angry. But then through that anger, the Lord was able to break through and show me that it was all your fault. None of those things would have been said or done if you had not acted the way you did. And at that instant, I said, Lord, I give you permission, and I ask you, please, to make me gentle. To break the hardness in my heart. To help me guard my mouth. To help me become more like you. Because, Lord, I don't want to go through this ever again. And the Lord started or restarted or kick-started a process in me that I hope that prayer is answered. And I did everything I could. This was days before email. Faxes were new. And I did everything in my power to try to correct it. But, you know, it's like breaking open a duck down or a goose down pillow. Once those feathers go, you can't get them all back in. And I wrote a letter, a repentant letter, and I never got a reply. Maybe I wouldn't have replied to someone who sent me a letter like that. But I was heartbroken. But I made it my quest to become like Jesus in every area that I could so that that never happened again. 20 years went by. And one morning, I went to get my mail, or maybe I checked my email. That's what I was. Is there another kind of mail? I checked my email, and there was an email from the lady that I had offended. And it was just a, hi, how you doing? We've been keeping up with you on Facebook, and we just want to bless you in your ministry. And I said, thank you, Lord. I mean, listen, an email back to that dear lady. And I apologized. And I said, I sent you a letter, and I don't know if you ever got it. But, you know, and I explained the things I just explained to you. And I said, please, please forgive me. I'm a different person than I was then. And maybe the Lord allows to meet someday in the future. But just know that I love you. I love your husband. And I'm desperately sorry. Please forgive me. And she wrote back a very gracious email. And she said, we both did things back then that we could have done better. And yes, you are forgiven. And we love you too. And every month I receive a check from that couple. They've forgiven me. And I've forgiven myself. But, you know, God started a good work in me. And He's perfecting it. And that was part of the perfection process. Iron sharpeneth iron. And God had did something. So I encourage you today. I'm not going to finish the rest of the things I was going to say. But I encourage you today. Ask God. God, what is there in my life that doesn't look like you? What is there in my life that you're wanting to perfect and I am resisting? and repent of that resistance and trust God and allow Him to do and perfect what He wants to perfect in you. And in closing, I'll say this. The very last verse on there is from 3 John 2. And it says, "My brothers, I pray that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers." A lot of sermons, a lot of teaching, a lot of books have been written, a lot of CDs have been listened to about how to prosper. Maybe we, and I believe in prosperity, but maybe we should spend more time and effort on prospering our soul, our mind, and our will, and our emotions, so that we can be what God told us to do. When He said, I urge you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think all of us could use some renewing. Amen. I think all of us need to quit getting in the way of God doing what He wants to do and finishing the good work He started in us. Amen? Amen. May God bless you this morning.
Oh, feels good to get a soul shower. Excellent. Praise God. Why don't we stand if we could? Amen. There's no way that I could strategically plan these things. I thank God that He orders our steps. He orders the steps of the church. And restoration's all over that. Restoration. That message is all about, you know, the simplicity of God's desire for us to be conformed to the image of His Son, for us to be like Jesus in every way possible, even the Spirit that He's given us. And then when the Spirit convinces us of what is not Christ, what is off, let's make this right so that you have more energy and more of the potential can be tapped towards the kingdom. And so I want to pray for you today. Let's just close our eyes. First of all, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you are in a perilous condition. Jesus created us. And He has a right for us. We have all rebelled against Him. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But I've got good news. Jesus, who expects perfection, He came into this world and lived perfectly as a man. Then He took the punishment for sin. And now, whoever believes in Jesus, they don't have to be punished for their sin. And greater than that, they can be part of the family of God. This is good news. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His full work. Jesus could not be held in death because there was no sin. And so He lives, and He's living to have a relationship with you. Just between you and I, no one looking around. Say, "Pastor, please remember me in prayer. I don't know Jesus as my Savior." You're going to try a lot of things in this world to satisfy your heart. But it's not until Jesus Christ comes into your life as a relationship. It's not until you have that relationship, you will not be satisfied. He created you to have a relationship with Him. Just between you and I, you say, "Pastor, would you please pray for me after the service today?" Could you raise your hand so I could remember who to pray for? You're in a safe place. Yes, sir, I see your hand. You and I are going to pray. Anybody else today? "Pastor, please remember me in prayer." There's no one perfect in this room. We're all on a journey towards Christ, but it has to start with the profession that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. That you just raise your hand so I could pray for you today. We're all going to die. It's appointed unto man wants to die and then to be judged. We're either going to be in heaven with Jesus or separated from Him in hell. And so it's a very serious matter. We get a short time on this earth. The Lord's already drawing you. Say, "Pastor, please remember me in prayer." Just raise your hand so I can pray for you today. Brothers and sisters, you want to continue. And I praise God for such a wonderful church. You are a group of disciples. You're serious about it. You want to continue to engage the process. The good work the Lord has started, He will complete. And so there's never going to be any issue on his part. It's us engaging. It's us keeping ourselves in the progress zone, if you will, staying in that proximity so that he can continue that work in us. You want to engage that, just raise your hand so I can pray for you today. Lord, I just ask for, with my brothers and sisters, help us to continue to lay a hold of what you've already presented before us. You've given us the Spirit. You've given us the church. You've given us the Bible. You've given us so everything we need for life and godliness. You've given us it all, Lord. Help us to not be stubborn. Help us, Lord, to not be foolish. Help us to be wise and to lay a hold of that which you've already given to us. Thank you, Lord. We cling to you and to your promises. Thank you, Jesus. Real specialized here as we're going to be closing in a moment. But the Holy Spirit opened up something there when Paul was talking about the reconciliation. And there's relationships out there that are not resolved. There are some that cannot be resolved, and God does not hold you accountable for that, for whatever reason. But there's some that are just out there, and they're shaky, and they ping you every so often. They pain you. And the Lord wants there to be, you know, an examination. Where did I drop the ball? Did I do something? And make peace. As much as lies within us, the Bible says, be at peace with all people. And so if there's a relationship out there and you need to do the work, to pray, to, Lord, what can I do to make things right? Then I would commit that to you. That's something that, don't just let that go. You know, that was very touching. But you can be 10 minutes out of this place and other feelings and other concerns will begin to push that out. And so I just want to commit that to you. Take what you've heard about that. And if there's a relationship that's hanging out there, it's kind of dangling and it needs to somehow be resolved, do that thing. Even if it hurts, do the right thing. And let God bring peace. Let there be a measure of restoration in your life because of that. Let me pray, Lord, continue to favor your people with life and that abundantly. Help us to take what we have received this day, and may it yield many dividends into the future, your good word that does not return void. We praise you for this day. We pray a blessing upon Paul and Karen, the ministry of Invading the Darkness. And Lord, may we continue to be in partnership, that we are one with them, they're one with us, we're all together. Protect them, provide for them, let them know your peace, which passes understanding. Continue the healing process in that ear, O Lord. And we just commit our beloved brother to you. Thank you for this time together. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen.